whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and today it's a pleasure to have a representative of the Roger Williams Park Zoo with us. We're going to find out everything we want to know about the Roger Williams Park Zoo. The executive director, Jeremy Goodman, is here. Welcome back to WCRI, Jeremy.
Oh, it's so great to be back.
We've had you a couple times on Conducting Conversations, the Sunday evening program. Here you are on Saturday morning. It's May Day, the 1st of May, and the weather has changed, and people are seeing lights at the end of the tunnel, as they say. Some things are getting back to normal, and we want to talk about the things that are happening with the zoo that are, you know, getting back to normal, so to speak. At this point, you're now open 7 days a week, right?
Right. We were down to 5 days a week in the off season, but as of today, we're back open 7 days a week. With our normal hours, and it, we still have our numerous safety protocols in place, but like you said, we're getting back to normal, and everyone should really feel safe coming to the zoo. We do have a lot of safety protocols, cleaning protocols in place, and it's mostly an outdoor facility. So everybody should definitely feel comfortable coming back to the zoo and visiting your favorite friends, the animals.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's a little different than when I was young, running to the zoo a lot, was back then you just went to the zoo, went in and saw what you wanted to see and leave. That's changed a little bit, mostly because of COVID. Now there's reservations necessary, correct?
That is right. Since we do have capacity limits still, all tickets have to be reserved online for a specific entry time. And it's a very easy process. Just go to our website, rwpzoo.org, and click on the ticket icon, and it'll walk you straight through it. So even our members, our valued members, have to reserve their tickets online for now. We're hoping as capacity limits disappear, people won't have to do that in the future. But as of today, everyone still has to purchase all tickets online.
Now, you mentioned members. Let's talk about that for a little bit, because that's a huge part of helping you sustain things, correct?
Absolutely. Our members are some of our biggest supporters, and membership is probably the best buy in town. Usually a family of four, if you come, two and a half, three times, you've already paid for your membership. So it's something we definitely encourage. It's a great value. It allows you unlimited daytime visits, and it's a great way to support the zoo. It's, your membership dollars really go to help support our conservation programs, take care of our animals, our education programs. So we really rely on our members to help us out.
And there's even things, if you go to the website, you'll find out that there's things like discounts for AAA members. There's lots of information there about how to become a member and all the good things that it does.
That's true. We have all that on our website. And also we participate through the Association of Zoos and Aquariums with their reciprocal program. So if you love zoos, and I hope you do, as you travel around the country, we participate with well over 100 other zoos and aquariums around the country, where you can get a discounted admission if you're a member at our zoo. So
Do you ever say that acronym, AZA, or you do not use that? Is it AZA?
we usually say AZA. Years back, they had a mascot that they called AZA, but that didn't go over too well. So we just stick to AZA.
Okay. It had to be a cross between a fish and an animal, right? Because it's both.
That's exactly what it was. Nobody quite knew what it was.
You mentioned Roger Williams Park Zoo. It's, I think, one of the oldest zoos in the country, if I'm not mistaken. Goes back a long time, right?
Right. The zoo was actually established in 1872. So according to worldwide zoo historians, that makes us the third oldest zoo in the country, with, you know, Central Park Zoo being the first zoo that was established with animals in the U.S. And we slid in at number three. So we've been around for a while, and we've really changed over the years from more of the traditional menagerie to what we are today, which is, you know, more of a conservation park where we educate people all about saving wildlife in wild places.
You know, it's interesting. I just heard a news report about bald eagles in America and how they were, as everybody knew, it was a big story back a number of years ago when they almost disappeared, and then they were saved and brought back, and now they're flourishing in most of the United States, and it's due to conservation efforts like you have that is able to take some of these endangered species and help them out, right?
Absolutely. The bald eagles are a perfect example of the fact that things aren't hopeless. You know, we can turn things around if we make the effort to, if we clean up the pollutants and the toxins in the environment, which quite honestly are not only harming animals, they're harming us as well. So, you know, when the animals are disappearing, it's unfortunately a sign, you know, that things are not the best for us either. So zoos are really instrumental worldwide, you know, with conserving animals. Perfect example was the cold spell that was in Texas a couple months ago, where literally thousands, almost 10,000 sea turtles came ashore cold stunned because they, you know, they weren't used to that sudden drop in temperature. And it was really, you know, zoos and aquariums from around the country that stepped up and literally saved thousands and thousands of turtles, because we have the expertise, we have the knowledge, and the trained, passionate professionals. So zoos definitely, you know, do their part as far as trying to save species and conserve species. But we also, you know, are very important for educating people, because not everybody's going to have a chance to go to Africa or the rainforest in South America. So, you know, a zoo is a great place to really see those animals in person and learn what you can do to make a difference.
And things have changed so much. I mean, you know, I don't want to throw a dark light on it, but maybe 70 or 80 years ago, zoos were more like a circus almost than a conservation park. Or am I overstating that?
Yeah, and you probably don't have to go as far as 70, 80 years. Things have really changed over the last several decades. And, you know, zoos used to be more of a strictly entertainment, a collection of animals. There was really no emphasis on breeding. You know, back in, you know, in those days, people just took animals from the wild and, you know, it seemed like a limitless supply. And that has dramatically changed. Right now, our zoo participates in national cooperative breeding programs for endangered animals, and very rarely do we ever take any animals from the wild. As a matter of fact, one of the few exceptions are our bald eagles, which you were mentioning before. Unfortunately, the eagles that we have on exhibit here were shot, obviously a very irresponsible thing and illegal thing to do, and they are not flighted, so we gave them a forever home. So they're one of the few animals that actually came from the wild, but it was for a good cause that they're here, in that, you know, we're able to take care of them for the rest of their lives now.
You rescued them, essentially, like people would do with a rescue dog, took in somebody that wasn't going to be able to survive, right?
Absolutely, you know, and you know, obviously we wish that animals didn't have to be rescued, but that is a reality of life that, you know, that some animals do need rescuing, and zoos, you know, step up and fill that role.
Now, I just want to clarify, when you said the eagles were shot, they weren't shot at your zoo. They were shot somewhere else and brought to the zoo, right?
That is correct.
Okay, yes, I wanted to make sure we weren't getting a news story here that was like that. Yeah, and other things that can happen, as you mentioned, educate. People can't go to the rainforest or Africa very frequently, obviously, and they get to see some of these species that are not commonly known. You know, I I grew up in Rhode Island. Rudge Williams Park Zoo was always part of my going and learning and seeing what was new. I remember the old aviary that used to walk in and the birds flying around and the polar bear exhibit and all of the things that perhaps have changed now because things are always evolving, right?
That's correct. We're currently working on our 25-year master plan, which brings in new exhibits and new infrastructure to the zoo. So pretty much every single year, we have something new going on, whether it's a new exhibit or a new educational facility or new restaurants. So the zoo is always adapting and changing and you know, trying to stay current for the times, making sure that all of our animals, we keep up to the highest standards as far as exhibiting our animals and housing our animals. Animal welfare is incredibly important to us. So we want to make sure that, what might have been acceptable 10, 15 years ago might not be now. So we're constantly reevaluating ourselves and making sure that we're providing the best possible experience for both our animals and our guests.
And talking about new displays and new things coming up, you and I have spoken in the past and with other people involved with the zoo about the jack-o'-lantern spectacular that's been there for many years. You have a little bit of a spin on that going on right now with an Asian lantern display, right?
Yes, our Asian lantern spectacular started back on April 15th, and it will go all the way through July 4th. And I think when people think of Asian lanterns, they often think of small red and gold Chinese lanterns hanging from strings. But this is so much more. This is life-size animals made out of silk that are hand-painted and glowing at night. We have over 50 different displays, everything from elephants and giraffes to lotus flowers and beautiful trees and ceramic peacocks and everything that it's just an incredible display of these life-size lanterns the lanterns were brought over from China, but we have all sorts of Asian-inspired cuisine. So we want everybody to come early, grab dinner. Our chef, Chef Jasmine, has really prepared delicacies every evening. You come once, try something, and then come back again and try another dish because they're all fantastic. So we have food, we have the lanterns, there'll be periodic entertainment. So there's a kids zone where there's interactive lanterns where kids can play with the lanterns and they'll change colors as they're swinging on them and stepping on them. So there's just so much to do and it's a full evening event. So we want people to come early, see the animals, grab dinner, as it gets dark, see the lanterns, and just make a whole wonderful evening out of it.
So is that a separate admission, a separate thing from the regular zoo, correct?
That is correct. Lanterns admission, Asian Lantern Spectacular admission begins at 5:30. So if you're visiting the zoo, all zoo patrons will have to exit the zoo, even if you have tickets for the Asian Lanterns, and then come back in later that evening. And once again, just like our daytime admission tickets are our time ticket by reservation online, same thing for our Asian Lantern Spectacular. So get your tickets early. We do expect many of the nights to sell out because it really is spectacular and it's something everybody needs to see.
Well, there's lots of spectacular things going on at the Rodge Williams Park Zoo. We're going to find out a little bit more in the second half of our program, but right now we'll take this brief break and be right back. The Rodge Williams Park Zoo is the subject of this morning's company break. I'm Mike Mano and very happy to be talking with Jeremy Goodman. We are talking via Zoom, so we're safely distanced by probably 20 miles or so, I guess. Jeremy, are you actually at the zoo or are you working from home now?
No, I've been at the zoo pretty much for the entire course of the pandemic, and it's something that our incredible staff really, You know, you can't just close down the zoo. The animals need to be taken care of. All the life support systems need to be taken care of. So we've been here, you know, our really dedicated professional team have been here, haven't missed a day. I give them all the credit in the world. They've come in through thick and thin, and they're really just an incredible team. Obviously, some of our other staff members, you know, that could work from home, you know, had been working from home, but we're all back at the zoo now and ready to greet all of our guests.
All right, it's May 1st and things are starting to get into full swing as usual, even though the pandemic still has some effects on how you get into the zoo and how many people can go at one time. We did mention that reservations are necessary. We also mentioned that memberships are very much needed to help out during this time where we're obviously, like any business, there was a loss in the last year of income. And so any help you can give by going to the website, becoming a member, and visiting. And that's the important part. Not only become the member and help financially, but get there and educate your family, educate yourselves, and find out what's going on. You'll be amazed at what you can find. There are more than 20 animals. There are more than 200 animals. Do you have any idea how many different animals are at enclosed within your confines of the zoo proper?
Well, we for sure have over 100 different species. But some of the animals, it's kind of hard to get an exact count because, you know, some of those species are things like fish, and we have tanks full of dozens and dozens of fish. So, you know, obviously we can count our elephants and our giraffes, and we know exactly how many we have of those. But, you know, there's a lot of different types of animals from all over the world. And, you know, it's just a great place to come and to really connect with nature, to learn about these incredible species and these incredible animals and what we can do to help them, because that's really the most important part. Because as great as the zoo is and as much as conservation work as we do, we can't do it alone, and we really need all of you out there to work with us and to be part of the solution. So that's our goal is to connect people to wildlife and wild places, and to have them join us, to empower them to join us in conserving wildlife. So we need everybody out there to do their part as well, and come to the zoo, and we'll teach you how.
There you go. And you mentioned giraffes, which are what people would expect to see at the Roger Williams Park Zoo. Is even part of your logo, I believe. That's a quote-unquote normal animal, but there are lots of animals that people perhaps have never heard of. I was on your site. I found one. Let me see. I'm going to give it a shot. It was a binturong. Am I saying that correctly?
You are saying that correctly, and that is also known as a bear cat from Asia, and they're incredible animals. They actually smell like popcorn. you know, when you come and visit them, take a whiff of by their exhibit, and you'll actually have a slight smell of popcorn in the air. So it's you know, just one of the amazing things that, you know, that you can only kind of experience in person. You know, it's not only just the immensity of the animals when you're standing next to a giraffe or standing next to a binturong and smelling, you know, that popcorn scent, or just watching a bird flying overhead. You know, these are things that can be life-changing experiences, quite honestly.
Well, I think, yeah, and the point is that there's always something new to learn and something new to see. We talked about the Asian lantern display, which is currently going on. You have big news where you're going to have a visitor coming in the form of an alligator, right?
Yeah, we're really, really excited. We are bringing in, from Memorial Day through Labor Day, a large white alligator, an albino alligator, in a special exhibit where we're going to be talking about camouflage and albinism and leucicism, which are all different types of color changes that occasionally naturally happen in the wild. And it just goes to emphasize really the importance of an animal's normal coloration as well. So It's going to be a very rare thing. There's only, you know, a couple dozen of them in the world, and we're going to be lucky enough to have one this summer. So you definitely want to come by and check her out, because it really is a treat. I can't remember the last time, if ever, there was a white alligator in the New England area. So, you know, this one is visiting us from Florida and up for the summer, and then goes obviously back down for the winter to Florida, as do a lot of us. So we're really, really excited to be bringing that very special animal up here for all of our guests to see.
I can picture her now wearing the sunglasses and signing autographs.
Well, because of the albinism, actually, we have to be very careful as far as sunlight exposure, because, you know, animals that are missing their natural pigment are actually very prone to sunburn. So you're not too far off on that one.
Right. It's the autographs that are probably a little bit of a stretch. But there's also something happening with otters, right? You got something special with otters?
Yeah, so our female otter gave birth to quadruplets earlier this year, and they just went out on exhibit for the first time, because they were a little too small to be out in the water, and they hadn't had all their vaccines, but they are out now, and they are the cutest things in the world, and you just have to see them. They are in our North American River Otter exhibit, which is part of our adaptations building. So definitely swing by and you know, get a couple of great snapshots and selfies with our absolutely adorable quadruplet otter pups.
It's interesting. Now everybody listens to the program, and you said they had their shots, their vaccines. Everybody's thinking, oh, I need to get one too. People listen.
Yeah, they didn't get a COVID vaccine. They got their standard health vaccine, similar to what a dog or a cat would get.
Right. Let's talk briefly about the Carousel Village, which is part of the whole zoo experience. It's about almost a quarter of a mile away from where the zoo entrance is, I think, right?
That's correct. Carousel Village is in the heart of Roger Williams Park. And Roger Williams Park is an absolutely beautiful park. It's really one of the gems in the state of Rhode Island. And the zoo itself is 40 acres, and the park is a beautiful 400 acres. And Carousel Village is right in the middle, and you know, we have carousel rides, we have our Hasbro Boundless Playground, which is a fully accessible playground there, you know, great concessions where you can pick up an ice cream or a hot dog. And every Friday night throughout the spring and summer and going into early fall, we actually have a very, very special event, our Food Truck Friday event at the Carousel Village, where we have usually on average about 20 different food trucks from around the state. So the food is absolutely incredible. You know, we have live music and to listen to. You can take a spin on the carousel, you can play in the playground, picnic on some of the park's beautiful manicured lawns. So it's a wonderful family and community event that we really encourage everybody to come out. Obviously, we're still social distancing and whatnot, but it's a great event that we've been able to pull off very safely, and it's something that you don't want to miss.
Food Truck Fridays, and there's more than one food truck. There's lots of them, right?
Yeah, on average, we have over 20 food trucks on any given Friday, so it's really something. There's something for everybody. We have dessert food trucks, we have main course, all sorts of cultural cuisine. You know, you name it, we have it there. And the trucks are always changing. So if you come this Friday, enjoy. You come back the next Friday, it might be different trucks. So
did I see one time a pet food truck, or am I imagining that?
I don't believe we had a pet food truck there. I could be wrong because there's so many of them, and I can't keep track of them all. But, you know, we always switch it up and have quite the variety. So, and that event is free to the public. So it's, like I said, it's right in Carousel Village every Friday evening, beginning, you know, right around 5 o'clock. So come on down, bring the family, and enjoy some of Rhode Island's tastiest cuisine.
You also have the opportunity, since this is becoming a virtual world by evidence of you and I today talking via Zoom, there are some virtual programs available through the zoo. Is that right?
Yes, there are. So when COVID hit, we really had to pivot and move most of our in-person programming to digital programming. So if you want, you can go to our website and schedule in what we call our sofa safaris, which are an in-person or a special visit from one of our animals via Zoom. It can be into a classroom, it can be into your home for a special birthday party. So we have a wide variety of animals that you can Zoom into. So if you want to have a giraffe make a special appearance at a business meeting, come to our website and we can make it happen.
Wow, that sounds great. So I'm sure some animals better at Zooming than others.
all of our animals have figured it out by now.
Yeah, as everyone else has. I just want to recap some of the things because we talked about a lot and some of it in the first segment. If somebody just tuned in, they might have missed something. The Asian Lantern Display is now running, and that's going to run through the 4th of July, right?
That's correct. It runs 5 nights a week, so it runs Wednesday night through Sunday night. The show is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. The zoo is still open 7 days a week, but the show only runs 5 nights a week. It really is spectacular. Everyone has to come out and see these incredible lanterns, and I'm sure it's going to be a new tradition in Rhode Island. Just like our Jack-O-Lantern Spectacular is different every year, and people come and visit it year after year after year, we're hoping that this is a new tradition that we're founding with our Asian Lantern Spectacular, because everything we do at the zoo is spectacular.
There you go. All right. Jeremy, thanks so much for being with us on Company Break. You bring a lot of information to our listening audience. I'm sure a lot of people will be taking advantage of the nicer weather now that we've hit May, and coming out and visiting the zoo. And if they can go and knock on your door and get an autographed picture of you if they'd like, right? Is that?
I love to meet our guests. I love talking with our guests and finding out, the special experiences that they're having each time, because the zoo is all about making memories, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't have our guests. So it is part of the special part of my day when I get out of my office and walk around and talk to people. So for sure, if you see me, stop by and say hi.
All right. And in the meantime, check everything out at rwpzoo.org. And there you can get all the information about hours and programs and how to make appointments to get into the zoo or the Asian Lantern Spectacular or any of the other things that are going on. You'll even be able to get information about the white alligator and things like that. So, Jeremy, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care. We'll see you all next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's presentation of Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, hoping you have a great weekend.